And it is Tuesday of Holy Week on this March the 26th in the year of our Lord 2013. And as is our custom on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have ruminations where you can eavesdrop on pastors. And with me today, my good friend, hello, Pastor Mark Smith.
Hello, Tom Baker.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, it's this weather.
Oh, your voice is really like that?
Yeah, oh, a little bit, no. No, not too bad.
No, it's good. Yeah, usually you come barreling through and you're talking about the great weather. And what do you think
it is? I love this weather, too. I love the change of seasons.
Yes, unless it snows 18 inches on Sunday morning.
Yeah. No, you don't like that.
No.
I do not like that. I hate to have to decide, do we try to call the people? What do we do here, you know?
What did you do? Did you have services?
We had it. I'll tell you, the Lord was really gracious and held off.
Yes.
To the point where, you know, I mean, it started snowing right about, 8 o'clock?
Yes.
And, you know, you can't call off church for that.
No.
It was starting to stick right away, though.
In fact, I was surprised that St. Paul de Pere, they do this two or three times a year, invite new members or, you know, put
right.
them into the church. And all but one showed up.
Is that right?
That was amazing because it was really pretty bad on the expressway for a little bit. But not for too long because it they were really working well. In fact, I had to rush down and exit because there were 5 snowplows coming towards me. And everybody behind was going like 20 miles an hour, so I had to zoom ahead of them and was able to get there okay. This is Holy Week, and we have a short week because Good Friday we won't be in the studio since they're going to have a Treor service. Can you explain what a Treor service is?
Well, it stands for 3 hours, and it lasts 3 hours. We used to have a Treor service out at Christ Community Lutheran School.
Oh.
And the way it worked was, each pastor would get about 20 minutes to a half an hour.
You had 4 pastors?
You had actually 6,
oh, yeah.
I think, involved. And so you'd come in for about a half an hour, and then you would... We did the 7 words from the cross is
right.
what we did.
Yeah, each one is 25 minutes, and
right.
that makes you 3 hours. I used to do it at Emmanuel Olivet. We actually went to a cinema.
Uh-huh.
And we had it there. Instead of in a church, because
oh,
none
wow.
of the churches were large enough for the crowd that would come. And for 3 hours. St. Paul de Pere, where I am a member, is doing something unusual this year.
6 hours, right?
9 to 3.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're having a number of pastors who are going to be doing various portions of it. And plus, they're going to have the Tenebrae service.
Oh, Tenebrae. I love Tenebrae. We do Tenebrae every year. It's just become a long-standing tradition at Prince of Peace, and it's a historic order of service, and it's a gradual diminishing of the lights in the sanctuary.
Including the candles.
Candles. The Christ candle is carried out. Finally, at the end, the Christ candle is carried out,
mm-hmm.
and for a time, we take it back into the sacristy, and of course... And then you bring it back. You bring it back. In other words, to show that, you know, that the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection.
Is still coming. Sure.
Right.
Yes, last year I had the privilege at a congregation doing all their Lenten services, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, plus Holy Saturday.
Oh, you mean like an Easter Vigil?
Yes.
I have never done an Easter Vigil.
Yes.
You know, somebody... I think it's Pastor Timothy Quill, who's up there at Fort Wayne now.
Right.
He described the Easter Vigil as almost like a reverse Christmas candlelight service. He said you started outside.
Uh-huh. That's right, we did.
And you entered the sanctuary and all the candles were lit.
That's right.
And that's about all I know about it. I have never done it. I've often thought about trying it. We do normally have a Saturday evening service, but boy, I tell you, that's a whole other service. I just don't know. You know, I'm a sole pastor, and you know, by the time you do Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, man, I'll tell you, you're
well. I think all pastors have souls. Okay,
I mean, S O L E.
Oh, okay.
Only pastor.
You're the only pastor. Yes.
Yes. Tell me about Easter Vigil. Have you ever tried Easter Vigil?
Well, last year I just said I did at this church.
Well, how did it go? What basically, I mean...
They actually had a bonfire outside.
No kidding.
And that's where they lit their candles and came in. The only thing I didn't like about it, no sermon.
No sermon.
Yeah, it was readings.
Just reading.
From the Psalms and other places.
Well, yeah, I think you got to have a sermon. Even a short one, just, you know, just yeah. Something. A homily, something.
Yeah, for me, the sermon is what a worship service, that's the meat and potatoes. And then the dessert is the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
When you have that. But be that as it may, it was kind of interesting. I do use the word interesting a lot, don't I?
You sure do.
Because Christianity is really interesting.
Yeah, Tom, but you know, there are a few other adjectives you might try.
Well, in fact,
I use absolutely a lot.
Last Tuesday, when I did the Sunday school lesson for yesterday,
yes.
I started a couple of times. Oh, no, Mark Schmidt's listening, so I got to change it.
I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah, or you're a great help.
Make yes. You more interesting.
Yes. Well said. Oh, that is interesting. Okay. Yeah, it was funny. I hadn't noticed that until you said that, and then all of a sudden I catch myself doing that. But okay, what's a highlight for you? Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. Obviously, Easter is a highlight. But
yes.
Have you, in your studies, learned anything in particular you didn't know before?
Oh, boy. Well, certain things like, I never realized that, you know, Christ cleansed the temple several times.
Yes.
You know, I never realized that.
Yeah, early in his ministry, later.
He did that many times. Yeah. You know, another thing that happens during Holy Week is the cursing of the fig tree.
Yes.
That's something. What is that, Wednesday?
I'm not sure which day
it
is.
I think it's on
that's what they could
Tuesday
do.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Here's a couple of things that I have learned. What day of the week is Easter?
Well, of course, Sunday.
Well, I mean,
it's the eighth day.
Very good, Mark.
I've heard
I thought
you.
I was going to get you on that
no,
one.
Oh, no. I've heard you before on that.
Okay, explain that.
It's the eighth day.
How's
well,
it eighth?
Because the first day of Holy Week is Palm Sunday.
Yes.
And, of course, I understand that as it's the first day of his recreation.
Yes.
You know,
and also, what's really significant about the eighth day? Old Testament. What did they do on the eighth day?
Oh, the circumcision.
Very good, yes. And there are individuals, I had professors who said that was pointing forward, that he would rise on the eighth day, and that's why they were circumcised.
Oh, that is, you know, I don't know if I've ever understood it that way, but that is interesting.
Why would they choose the eighth day? Well, that's the day of the resurrection with Holy Week. Another thing that I learned that was really, really interesting, and you won't get this one.
Is what?
Because I didn't get it.
Give me a hint.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just ask the question.
Give me a hint and see if I get it.
What day was Palm Sunday?
Sunday.
What day was Maundy Thursday?
Thursday.
What day was Good Friday?
Friday.
And what day was Easter?
Sunday.
Yes. Those are the answers I would have given.
Right. Okay. Well, tell me where I'm wrong.
Maundy Thursday.
Okay, Maundy Thursday.
Actually occurred on Friday.
Well, because it's in the evening.
Well, that's my point. No, it's not because it's in the evening. It's because the day
because
of
the, day
the
begins,
Jewish.
The day begins at in the evening.
Sundown.
The right.
So this is really amazing.
For us, it's still Thursday, though.
That may be. That's when we celebrate.
But for them, it was Friday.
In other words, it was on Friday that everything happened.
Everything happened on Friday. Yeah, that is
because he was even buried before sundown.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Isn't that interesting to think about that?
Yeah,
I had not.
That's an interesting detail to look.
There you go again, using the word interesting.
Right.
Don't you have any other adjectives you can use? I'm going to get you on this.
Okay.
But the fact is, and I not realize that until I was doing study for the Sunday school lesson on issues, etc., and the point was made that Maundy Thursday was on Friday. And I said, what? That doesn't make any sense until
for them
they explained it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of important then that Good Friday include the Lord's Supper.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because we have not done that. I know many churches have the Lord's Supper on Good Friday.
I mean the real Lord's Supper.
Oh, you mean
the original?
Uh-huh.
Occurred on Friday.
Yeah.
Are you saying that
every Good Friday service ought to have the Lord's Supper? That's my question.
Oh, that's a different question. I'm not even sure the congregation I go to, whether, I don't think we did when I was at St. James. Maundy Thursday was a big Lord's Supper day. Good Friday was kind of preparation for Easter.
If you have a tenebrae,
I don't have an objection to the Lord's Supper on Good Friday, and I'll tell you why. Is not everybody makes the Maundy Thursday.
That's right.
Everybody makes the Good Friday, and so sometimes that's why Palm Sunday is also called Sunday of the Passion.
Is that? Let me ask you something. Is that the reason they did that?
Yes.
It's because they want to be sure that everybody, even those people that don't go to Good Friday, get exposure to the cross.
Passion narrative.
And that's why they went to that. That's why it's kind of, you know, you got to admit, it's a little bit, of course, you always preach the cross anyway. But
Well, not the details.
Do you ever struggle a little bit with that?
With what?
With the idea of it being Palm Sunday as well as Sunday of the Passion. Does that ever give you difficulty?
And I'll tell you why. What other day is Palm Sunday in the church?
Well, Advent.
Yes.
Advent, you have that emphasis, Palm Sunday.
Because
that's
true. Coming.
But, you know, a lot of people still think of Palm Sunday as Palm Sunday.
Well, because a lot of them...
The cross is Good Friday, and Easter is the resurrection. A lot of people feel like, well, why are you taking Palm Sunday away from us for?
Well, do what we did. And this is part of the liturgy. Is you begin with the pastor walking in with the Palm Sunday reading with the palms.
Yes, yes, I've seen that.
And then you do the other three readings, and the Gospels are a really lengthy one, depending on which series A, B, or C you're doing, and that's to bring people up to date as to the facts of the Scripture. There was a recent survey. People are really ignorant of the Scripture. That's why this thing, the Bible, is really a great conversation starter that History Channel is putting on.
Right.
Even with all
the errors.
They were
talking about on KMOX this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, KMOX is a radio station in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, I almost forgot about it, as opposed to KFUO. But you're right. They were talking about that on that other station this morning.
And what were they saying?
I didn't hear it. I just heard they were talking about it.
you can't
expect me to know all the details, Tom.
No, because you're listening to KFUO instead of KMOX.
Right. Okay.
Okay. But I have found that a lot of pastors are really negative towards the Bible because it does make errors.
You're talking about the History Channel,
yes.
The Bible.
Right.
Right.
And I think they go too negative because there's some things where you're even laughing.
Yeah.
Joseph and Mary are at worship, and they've already been engaged. And Joseph looks over at Mary, and he says, "You have such beautiful eyes." That's not found in the Bible anywhere.
No, you don't.
And they even have a crowd that are trying to beat up Mary, calling her bad names because she's pregnant out of wedlock.
Well, they're trying to get across the fact that she could have been stoned for...
Right, but there's nothing in the Bible.
No.
And you know why?
But I think they're trying to convey that truth that, look...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't make up things. If they had been true to the Bible, the reason that didn't happen is she was with Elizabeth for 6 months.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, she went there until Elizabeth had John the Baptizer.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think we can be a little too negative on the, you know, I mean, I'm thankful that they're at least showing it. I mean,
What I am amazed at is the supernatural things are still there.
They're still there.
I mean, there's no doubt that the Holy Spirit and Mary, you know, that's
right.
How she conceived. There's,
right.
there's no thing about another man or anything.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it really was pretty good in those areas.
Considering that.
But like I say, I had people in adult instruction. I was talking one day about David and Bathsheba, and a college student turned to me and says, "Who are you talking about?" And I looked at him and I said, "Didn't you even see the movie?"
Yeah. Oh, I remember a college student when I was in college did not know anything about Noah. Noah's
really?
Ark, nothing.
Boy.
I mean, there is a lot of ignorance out there.
And I'll tell you why. Not only do a lot of churches not have Sunday school, but when they do have Sunday school, there are issues like environmentalism. It's not Bible stories. And I know even our own church went through a time like that where the topics were more important than the Bible stories. Then we went through a time where you had the Bible stories, but there was no law and gospel.
Right.
You know, they were principles of life type of thing. And then finally some people got involved with Concordia Publishing House that really improved. And right now it's excellent Sunday school material from my point of view. It's got a lot of insights, and they have people who are writing things that I had not known about, like this one. I never thought that Monday, Thursday was on Friday for them. And to consider that
all of it happened then.
All happened in a 24-hour period.
Including even the Passover.
Well, that was Monday, Thursday.
That was the dinner, right?
Yeah, it would have been 7 o'clock. Our phone numbers here in St. Louis are 505-7850 or toll-free
1-800-730-2727.
And let's go talk with Diane. Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi. I only caught the past few minutes, but you're talking about ignorance. I was 25 and didn't know anything, the difference between Noah and Moses, and my parents didn't either. We went to church and weren't taught, or we didn't go to church. So there's lots of people who don't go to church. I mean, I didn't even know there was a whole culture of church things when I was 25 or so.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents gave me a book about neighborhood kids, and it was a 365 book story. I knew those kids backwards and forwards. You know, they were like friends of mine, even though everything was made up. It was just stories. And when I had my children, I got a 365-page Bible storybook. And so my kids really know the history of the Bible. I mean, you tell them a name, they'll know it. But all it did was that. It didn't give law and gospel applications.
Yeah.
But when I had adult instruction recently, I handed out a children's 365-day book for them that Concordia Publishing House puts down, because rather than four stories of the feeding of the 5,000, which is in the actual Bible, they just have one.
Mm-hmm.
But they historically go from Genesis all the way through Revelation in a way that kids can understand it. And
it's lavishly illustrated. If it's the Bible I'm thinking about, it is beautifully illustrated.
Well said, yes.
You know, Concordia Publishing House has that 100 Bible stories,
yeah.
And now it's got a version of 120 Bible stories. I've used both of them. They are excellent.
Absolutely.
You know, you go through that with your confirmation kids, and good exposure to basic Bible stories.
Do you find that true still among some of your friends, the ignorance of the Bible, Diane?
Oh, yeah. My parents are in their 80s, and they don't know anything about the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we've started doing audios. These are CDs. The book I just finished is Lifelines of Love by Peter Kurowski. It's about marriage. But I'm thinking an audio abbreviation of the Bible, like taking one of these books and just reading it, because much of the language is right out of the Bible. It's just that it's a summary rather than the whole thing. And that would be great gifts to give to somebody they could listen to in their car when they're driving around.
Yeah, some people learn visually, and some people do learn by hearing.
Yes. Hey, I really thank your call, Diane.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And anybody else can call at 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727. I wanted to ask Diane if she started going to church now. I mean,
oh yeah,
yeah,
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a fine member, and in fact, I've had some other contact with her.
I see.
I believe it was her. Yes, who gave me a gift of a rock she had done made out of LNG, law and gospel.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
I've got it over at the home. But be that as it may, this is a real problem among many people who even attend a Christian church, that they don't know the Bible stories. So you can understand why Passion Sunday was needed.
Yeah, I see that now, right? That's what I'd thought was the reason why they did that, and I guess it's necessary. Sad to say, you've got a lot of people that don't come to Good Friday, and they need that exposure to the
Well, the other time that occurs is the other great festival after Pentecost. I'm sorry, before Pentecost.
Ascension?
Yes.
Ascension is
very
one
few
that's
people
sliding.
Go to the Ascension services. when they are held. And therefore, it's kind of good the Sunday after that Thursday. Ascension is always on a Thursday.
It's always on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter.
Yes.
Always.
40 days, and then you've got... I did a study on the number 40. It's amazing how many times it comes up in the Bible.
Yes.
40 years in the wilderness, 40 days in the wilderness for Jesus, and rules of kings were 40 years. It's just really kind of something that it shows God is in control. You know, that number 40 really becomes important.
Is there anything eighth day other than circumcision?
Not that I'm aware of.
I can't think of anything.
No. I'm trying to think if some of the ceremonial laws for cleanliness last 8 days or something like that. That would be interesting to take a look at. You know, like when somebody touches a dead body, they're not allowed into the temple.
That's right.
That's that whole story of the Good Samaritan where the priest and the Levite passed by, because if he was near death and they touched him, then they would be unclean. So it shows how... probably the best thing to bring up there is the vision of Peter on the roof when he's about to meet Cornelius. What's that about?
He had this dream, I believe. Or was it a vision?
Vision.
One or the other, where this huge tablecloth, for want of a better word, is let down three times. And it has all these supposedly unclean animals on it. And the voice accompanies this tablecloth, kill and eat. He says, oh, no, I never let it touch my lips.
Yeah.
Until the Lord tells him, don't ever say something's unclean, which I have cleansed.
Exactly.
And it's preparing him to go and visit this Gentile, this Roman soldier, Cornelius.
Exactly. And see, that's what Holy Week is all about. How, in the view of God, we're cleansed. Not by anything we've done, but by everything that Jesus has done. And that's, it takes, the Sunday school lesson I did for issues that a lot of people heard on Monday was both Good Friday and Easter Sunday. You try and cover that in 50 minutes.
Yes, I heard.
It's impossible. You know.
Let's talk a little bit more about that torn curtain.
Yes.
Now, you've got a, you know, I think a lot of us take that to indicate that now
we can enter into
the presence of God directly through Jesus Christ and his cross.
That's somewhat interesting in light of two things. Just before the Babylonian captivity, the Spirit left the Holy of Holies and went on the mountain. That's what the Bible says. Second of all, Jesus had just prophesied what was going to happen to the temple. It was totally destroyed in 70. So when did the Spirit leave it? I believe that was what was happening when that curtain tore and the Holy Spirit, God left the Holy of Holies. Now where's the temple?
Jesus. In our bodies.
Well, no, not till Pentecost.
Okay.
Till then is Jesus now becomes the temple.
He says, destroy this temple, and in three days I'll build it.
Well said. Yeah. That's the best verse to use that he himself is talking about. And
but don't you also, can it be a little bit of both? And the reason why I say that is, you know, the cherubim guarded the gate to Eden so that Adam and Eve can no longer re-enter that. And what was embroidered on that temple curtain?
The stars and...
I believe it was cherubim.
Could be. And that was torn.
And it was torn.
Yeah.
It's like we sing in the hymn, the angel guards the gates no more, to God our thanks we pray. In other words, now we do, through Christ. Christ has blasted that way into the Holy of Holies, and we benefit from that.
But, okay, here's my problem.
Okay, all right.
Because I always hear this, is that means that we can now enter into God's presence.
He's entered for us.
Huh?
We're as good as there because he's gone for us. He's the first fruits.
No, I'm talking about this torn curtain. The reason I hesitate to say we can enter is, you know, for an unbeliever, they would never enter. So that means God enters into us. It's a law of gospel things. You got to reverse the direction. Who's running the verbs?
Who's running the verbs?
I'm not the one who now has the capability of entering into God by a decision in my heart or something like that. No. God now comes into us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Pentecost is all about.
Well, like, for instance, don't we always talk, there's no real priesthood now. We don't need a priest. We don't need an intervener. We go directly to God through our prayers.
Well, that's
in Christ.
So if you're talking about justification, you have to say God's coming out. If you're talking about sanctification, do the priesthood of believers have the ability to enter into the presence of God? Then I would say yes, because that's what they did in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And we go right into that. But guess what?
We're out of time.
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
And we didn't even get to Good Friday. I mean, there's so much that could be said. But I thought, you know, we'll take that opportunity. Tomorrow, I'm going to continue with this on Insight Wednesday with some items that I came to know this year. And then on Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. Your Easter service?
Easter service is 9 a.m. Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, thanks so very much, Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.